Hello, and welcome to the Quest Church San Diego Sermon Podcast. Our church has a passion to reach people who are far from God, teach them to follow Jesus, and launch them out to serve God in the world. If you're in the San Diego area, we'd love for you to join us for a service. Please visit questsd.com to learn more about us, find out service times, and explore our ministries. If you have any questions, send us an email at info@questsd.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We do have a guest speaker today, and so I get to sit with my wife right there in the middle there, my kids, and just receive from the Word of God this morning and be encouraged. But we've actually been planning this for quite some time. Just a little introduction before you come up, Ryan. He's a good friend of ours. I say ours, my wife and I, going back many years. Wife Heather went to school together with Sarah. He is a pastor at Hamul Community Church, and so we've been able to steal him away just for this Sunday, and so that he can come and encourage us in God's Word. But they have three kids, and his wife actually teaches, I think he's taught all of our girls English at school, but he oversees worship and missions and, young adults ministry, all kinds of good stuff. Just has a heart for God's Word. And so can we give a warm welcome to Pastor Ryan Murphy?
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
All right. Good morning. It's good to be here today. Super excited to get in this passage. We got another Easter passage today. And you're like, wait, isn't Easter just one Sunday? Well, no. We are resurrection people. Right? It's not just one day of the year we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He lives with us every day. He is alive, and he never can die, and we celebrate that. So, yeah, we're going to look at kind of an Easter afternoon story, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening of that first day when the world was forever changed. And what we want to really ask today is, what difference does the resurrection make? How does it change us? How does it affect us? There's this word we use as Christians called discipleship. You know, it's that idea of getting to know Jesus more, becoming his disciple, growing to be more like Jesus. And so whether this last Easter was, you know, last week was your first Easter, or whether it was your 90th Easter, we all have that question to ask ourselves is, how can I grow to be more like Jesus? What steps can I take? And so we're going to see today that there is a literal road that these guys are walking down a road from Jerusalem. And I'm just going to kind of summarize the story right up front here. They are confused, right? Jesus died, and then his body's missing, and then he reappears, some people are saying. Like, what is going on? Everybody's confused. And so a couple guys just take off. They leave Jerusalem, and they're going back to this place called Emmaus, and they're on this road, and they're out of there. And so as they're walking, some stranger comes up alongside of them and starts talking to them. And they talk, and they have this conversation. The stranger kind of leads them in a Bible study. The stranger kind of does a little counseling with them. They invite the stranger in to stay with them wherever they're staying, and then the guy breaks bread, and they say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's true. He's resurrected. And then he disappears. So it's this amazing story that that we're going to look at today, and we're going to see how they go through some steps and how, as Christians, we want to take those same steps. We want to be on that road with Jesus, too. We want to be disciples of his along the way. And so I think you're going to see some parallels, some things for you to take away in your own life and say, I need to do that a little bit more. Or I haven't been doing that. You know, that's something else I can do. Or hopefully you can say, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm walking with Jesus. And so I know, I can be sure, I can be confident that I'm where God wants me to be right now. So we're looking at Luke chapter 24. So if you have a Bible, you either can get it out on an app or have it in your lap, whatever you want to do there. But Luke 24 is where we're going to be reading from today. We'll start with verse 13. The first thing we want to say is that Jesus walks with us. That's what we're going to see right up here up front. Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So the first thing we want to say is we want to say that Jesus walks with us. To walk alongside, to be in fellowship, to be close with people is what Jesus does. He has made us. He intimately knows us, and so he walks with us. And he knows that we're complex people. He knows that we have all these different facets to us. We have emotional parts, right? And so some of you today, you have some emotions that you're struggling with. You have maybe some fear, some pain, some heartache. Maybe you have some good feelings too. But he meets us in our emotions, and so we know that he can walk with us in those hard emotions. Maybe it's confusion intellectually. Maybe it's what you're thinking about God right now, the way you're thinking about life, that is just, it's just confusing. You know, we live in this information age. You know, all I can do is just, hey Siri, say something, you know, and then whatever I say, I can get that information. But with that, there's so much information and what's true and what's not true. And so there can be a lot of confusion. How do I live my life? How does Jesus want me to live my life? Some Christians say this, some Christians say that. There's all kinds of conflicting ideas. And so maybe it's intellectual confusion that Jesus wants to walk with you through today. And a third one, spiritual. Just in the depths of our soul, maybe there's something that's missing. Maybe we've been trying to fill up that ache, that depth, that missing God, with other things that really won't satisfy us. And so Jesus walks with us emotionally. He can heal us. Intellectually, he has wisdom. And spiritually, he is the way to a right relationship with God. So the resurrected Jesus can do this because he is living and he is walking with us today. The resurrection is essential to the whole story of the Bible. And sometimes throughout history, some people have tried to take the resurrection out. And they just try to make Christianity about good behavior, right? Good morals. And you know, that's just enough, they would say. The resurrection, why do we have to, that's pretty preposterous. That's pretty outlandish. Why don't we just, Jesus told us to be nice people. Why can't we just focus on being good, nice people? The Bible tells us that it is of first importance. I'm going to read some verses from 1 Corinthians 15. And this is Paul kind of boiling down, you know, like what is essential to our faith. And here's what he says. He says, "For what I received," it's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," who's Peter, "then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." So some had died at that point where Paul's writing. "And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." So that's Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And even that list, wow, that was a lot of people. A lot of people. It wasn't just like, oh, somebody said they heard that maybe Jesus was resurrected. Somebody kind of had this vision and we passed it along. All of these appearances of Jesus Christ, the resurrection is a central historical fact of Christianity. And there's so many witnesses to it. And we've been passed down these witnesses through the Word of God. And this isn't even an exhaustive list. We know that the first person isn't even mentioned here. It was a woman named Mary who was the first person to witness the resurrected Christ. And, you know, and some people say this resurrection thing got added later to the Bible, and maybe you've heard that, some skeptics, some doubting people to say that kind of thing. Well, just the fact that the Bible records that Mary was the first one tells you that they weren't trying to make it up. You know why? Because in that culture, in that time period, the testimony of a woman wasn't valid in a court of law. So if they were going to make up something, they wouldn't say, let's say it was Mary that saw him first. They would choose something that in the culture was reputable, somebody who, you know, again, in their culture, had its standing in a court of law. But the reason the Bible tells us that Mary saw him first is because Mary saw him first. And so the truth is right there for us to have confidence in and to have faith in. And then this story that we're reading today, these other two, they're not recorded here in 1 Corinthians 15, but it's there because there were so many appearances and so many wonderful signs that Jesus had done. And so because Jesus is resurrected, you can have hope that he's going to walk with you in every circumstance today. So let's look at some of these, and these are in your notes, and I think they're going to appear up here on the screen as well. And the first one that we want to say, how do we walk with Jesus today? How do we go another step down that road? And one of the ways is through a Christian community. And so the blank is Jesus helps us when we gather. Everybody say gather. We see two men walking together. We see throughout the New Testament that there was fellowship. There was people together in community, and that is so important. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. There's no such thing as a John Wayne Christian, this rugged individualist of, it's just me and Jesus. Okay, it doesn't exist. It's meant to be in community. The Christian life can only be lived in community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who was alive during World War II, and he actually opposed Hitler. And then the Nazi party had him put to death, and he was executed April 9th, 1945. He wrote a book called Life Together. And that was so important, and he wanted to emphasize that with his congregation, the importance of us living life together. And here's a quote from him. He said, "Whoever cannot be alone should beware of community." But the reverse is also true. Whoever cannot stand being in community should beware of being alone. If you neglect the community of other Christians, you reject the call of Jesus Christ. We gather together because, yes, we do need to seek him on our own. And he saves each soul individually. And he comes into your life. The Holy Spirit comes into your life through faith individually. But then he gives us a family, and he gives us people to walk with and help us along that road together. I want to pause there, and there's a really strange detail of the story. I know we're going through these steps, but there's a really strange detail of the story. It says in verse 16, they were kept from recognizing him. Some of your translations might say they were restrained from recognizing Jesus. And this is kind of important to the story because they're his disciples. He's walking with them. What's going on? How could they not know? How could they not see until later on in the evening? Well, number one, they saw him die. Okay? The first century was no different than our time now. When someone is dead, they are dead. There's no mostly dead. You're dead. You know, Princess Bride has their own kind of opinion on that, but there's just dead, and he's dead. There's no way Jesus could be walking down the road with them. So that's the first thing. My dad died in 2015. And so if I saw somebody that looked like my dad, you know, I'm walking at Lake Murray or, you know, I'm at a Starbucks and I see somebody who looks like my dad, I'm not going to think that's my dad. I'm going to think that looks like my dad because I saw my dad die. He's not there. It's the same thing for them. It could have just been, this can't be Jesus. It just can't be. It couldn't dawn on them. Okay, maybe here's another thing. Number two. It could have been that God wanted them to be honest. It could have been that if Jesus comes and they're like, whoa, Jesus, you're resurrected, it's true. They wouldn't have been honest in this moment. And he wanted them to be honest with themselves. He cares about the truth about what's going on inside of you. What is truly going on inside your heart, your mind, and your soul? There's an example, I can't remember if I should mention it or not, but for 14 years, my wife and I were missionaries in Kenya. And so we had two kids that were raised over there, or born over there, and then we raised our three kids over there. We just came back to San Diego here in 2019. And one of the things when you come back on home assignment is you don't really know how to do anything because you haven't lived here in a while. And so I asked somebody, where do I get my haircut? You got a good place to go get a haircut? Told me, yeah, go over and get a haircut over there. Okay, cool. So go in. And I sit down. And as I sit down in the barber's chair, The barber has some rather colorful language. Okay, you guys know what I mean? Some kind of language I hadn't heard in a while on the missionary school where we were working. And, you know, and as the conversation goes along a little bit, maybe halfway through the haircut, the barber says, "What do you do?" I say, "I'm a missionary in Kenya. I tell people about Jesus Christ." And so then he stopped the colorful language. The tone of the conversation changed. He starts telling me about how he goes to church. Which is great. You know, I'm not trying to judge him. It was just kind of that thing of sometimes people aren't honest with you when they really know who you are. They kind of put up a different front. So maybe Jesus says, "I want these guys to be honest with me. What's really going on in your heart after all this has happened and all of this has rocked your world?" So maybe that's why they were restrained. But I think there's a third reason. I think it's that so that they would be convicted and convinced by the word of God. Because here's what's going to happen. If he comes in and miraculously, like, shows himself to them, they would just be, you know, falling down and like, "Wow, Jesus, you're back. This is incredible." And they'd be worshiping. And they'd be convinced, but they'd be convinced by the miracle. And here's the thing, is that most people throughout history have been convicted by the word of God preached to them, the word of God taught to them, by the word of God in their lives, and not by miracles. That is the normal way that God comes. Now, does he speak through visions, revelations? He does. He can. But the point is that God's word is sufficient to change us and challenge us and be transformational in our lives. And so that's what he does. And we're going to see that in the rest of the story, that he comes through the word, they're enlightened. Their eyes are open. Their hearts burn through the word of God. And that's how God is going to convict us and changes us. It's how he does it to me. It's how he does it to you. All right, let's get back to our story. Verse 17. Jesus, he, it says, asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. Going farther with Jesus, one of the things we can do, community is great, praying is also. Tell Jesus what's on your heart. Jesus is the next blank. Everybody say, Jesus. Jesus invites us to know him. It's not because he has questions. It's not because he can't know our thoughts. He is God. He is sovereign. He is omniscient. But he wants a relationship with us, and that's what prayer is. It's us getting to know him better and us having this conversation with God. And that relationship was broken in the Garden of Eden through Adam and Eve's sin and has been passed down to us, but it's restored. The relationship can be restored through our faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. The two men come as they are. It says their faces were downcast. They came brokenhearted to Jesus, and that's what we can do in prayer as well. Read the Psalms and you'll see pain, you'll see confusion, you'll see all kinds of emotions, but there are emotions that have been given to God. I know our Southern California culture is very busy. It's very full of distractions. It's easy to say that we don't have time, but the reality is we just like distractions. We like how quick and easy some of our pleasures are, and prayer and taking time to be quiet before God is something we don't always take the time to do. So I want to just mention maybe today to go a little farther in your walk with God this week, maybe make a new prayer habit. Maybe it's 5 minutes at lunch. Set a little reminder on your phone. Maybe it's 5 minutes of prayer. Maybe it's deleting that app. You know that app I'm talking about. That app that every time you hit that app, you're on for 20 minutes. Maybe you just need to delete that app, and now all of a sudden it's like, what do I do with that 20 minutes? You know, maybe I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. Maybe I'm going to pray for 10 minutes. Maybe it's turning off music on the drive home. You know, you guys live out here in Alpine. There's lots of long drives that you have on your commutes to get around, probably some of you. Maybe you turn off the radio, and you just have quiet and just talk to Jesus. But you come as you are, and I know that you won't be disappointed, and I know that because Matthew 7:7 Jesus tells us, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Thank you, Lord. Verse 19, what things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us what they had seen, a vision, that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. So going farther on the road of Jesus' study, ask Jesus your hardest questions. Next blank is hardest. They're confused. And, you know, I worked with high school students primarily for like first 20 years of my ministry, and I found that they didn't always ask the hard questions. They didn't think it was safe. They were embarrassed to ask. Maybe they thought I didn't know the answers, or I never asked the questions myself, and they were the only ones really being honest. But we have to ask the hard questions. If we don't ask the hard questions of the church and your brothers and sisters sitting here and your pastors, if we don't ask the church the hard questions and we try to ask it to the society, society will tell us, but it's not going to be the truth. It's not going to be from God's word. And so ask the hard questions. God invites your toughest questions. And here they are just like, what does this mean? Like, they said this, and then this happened. What's going on? So we come every Sunday. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. You're here. You're listening to God's word. But Pastor Sherwood teaches God's word to you every week. There's the weekly men's and women's Bible study here at Quest. The Tuesdays and the senior life group, I think on Thursdays, right? What's Quest motto? Reach, teach, and launch. So we teach God's word. Your personal study is another way to do it. You know, there's so many resources out there, YouTube, podcasts. There's Christian books about maybe just one topic really stumps you. There's a Christian book on it. I guarantee you, somebody has researched it and they've studied God's word and they've written things to help you. You're not the only one to ask, to wonder, to struggle with it. Verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Wow, what a Bible study that was. So worship is an important part of what we do. We love Jesus with our whole heart and mind. Everybody say heart. Jesus quoted the Old Testament during his life, so it's not like he didn't have this as his regular teaching pattern. 78 times in the Gospels we have record that Jesus used the Old Testament. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He was the plan from Genesis all the way to our New Testament scriptures in Matthew. So we gather as Christians for worship, and reading and studying God's word, the Bible, is central, and it all testifies to this message of Jesus. It all testifies to his grace, to the fact that we don't need to do it on our own, that he's done it all on the cross. You can't clean your life up and get good enough for God and then come to him. You come to him as you are, and he does that work. And he's already done, ultimately, the work on the cross. That's the good news, and that's what the word teaches us. And the other thing that worship does when we come together in a place like this is it takes our minds off of us, our thoughts, our worries, our problems, our needs, things that we think we need, and says, God, you are enough. God, you are everything I could ever, ever want. To worship is to ascribe ultimate value to something. So that means you can worship other things and you can worship other people. But what worship truly is giving value, ultimate value to something. I love what the word worship meant in the Old English. It comes from the words worth and shape. You put value on something and it shapes the way you act. Worship is to say, I am growing in this direction. I'm putting my value in a certain way, in a certain place. There's a parable by Jesus where he says, the kingdom of heaven, this is Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. So one man puts the worth on that field as it's a bunch of dirt. And so I'm going to sell it. Another man says there's worth in that dirt. There's a treasure underneath there, and I am going to value it. And so do you see how their behavior changes? I'm going to sell everything to get that plot of dirt because there's treasure there. And we say, God, you are the treasure. Jesus, you are everything, and I want you. I'll give up everything for you. My worth it worship, my shape of my behavior is going to be changed by the value I put on you, Jesus. I want to show you something. This is a Michael Jordan rookie card from 1986. Now, I'm sad to say it's a replica. It's not an authentic Michael Jordan rookie card. It just looks like the real card, okay? 1986 Fleer. When I was a kid, I collected baseball cards. I was really into baseball. Thousands of baseball cards. Basketball wasn't such a big deal. Yeah, I don't know if this basketball game's going to catch on. I don't know. Just baseball's where it's all at. So somebody gave me a pack of basketball cards. I opened it up. I'm like, oh, they're pretty cool. Yeah, they're good athletes and stuff. I'd like to look at them. I'm going to put pins and stick them up on my corkboard. So that's what I did. And you know what card I got in that pack of basketball cards in 1986? I got a Michael Jordan rookie card, and I did not value it. I didn't see the worth. I didn't know what Michael Jordan would become to the basketball world. I just thought, oh, he's a good young player. I had no idea, and so my value of it was nothing. I stuck a pin in it. This card signed, sold at an auction for $1 million. Okay, and it goes quite frequently for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Unsigned, $738,000 was its maximum. So again, it's not real. Don't beat me up after service and try to like get my card for me. You can come look at it, but it's sadly not real. So Jesus is our ultimate worth. Let's see how the love of God in their hearts and minds impacted their lives. So verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened scripture to us? So we see a reaction in these two men. We see them beginning to serve. So serve is the next thing that we can take to go down the road farther with Jesus. So give Jesus your time, talents, and money. Talents is the next blank. Everyone say talents. Let him into all areas of your life. It's easy to give a couple hours on Sunday. It's harder to give every day. When I was in seminary, we had three little kids. It felt like a lot, but we had three little kids in the house, and I needed some quiet, and I needed to study, and I needed to read, so I'd go to Starbucks. And after a few hours at Starbucks, you know what happens when you walk out? You smell like Starbucks, right? When you spend enough time with other Christians, you begin to smell like other Christians. In a good way. In a good way, right? Hopefully in a good way. And so that's what worship does. That's what spending time together, serving alongside of each other with our time, it affects us. It changes us. I love this quote by Pastor A.W. Tozer. He said, if you do not worship God 7 days a week, you do not worship him on 1 day a week. There's no such thing in heaven as Sunday worship unless it is accompanied by Monday worship and Tuesday worship and so on. We do it with our time, we do it with our talents, okay? You have skills, ways you can serve in your community and serve other people inside, outside the church. You also, if you're a believer, you have something called a spiritual gift that God's given you to build up the church. And so next week at the open house, at the ministry fair, figure out how you can use your time and your talents and your gifts. Is it prayer? Is it worship? Is it serving with the kids? Is it something outreach in the community? What can we do together to see God served and his kingdom grow? And then also our money. And I wish I could leave this one out. Life is expensive, especially in San Diego. But we do this as Christians because we can do more with our money together than we can apart. And so we give to it. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we say, God, your kingdom is valuable to me. And so these men invite Jesus in. They're going to feed him. They're going to have him stay with them. And they are going to serve. And they are changed by the word of God. Their service comes from a burning heart, right? Verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Let's finish up. Verse 33 to 35. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon Peter. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. So we evangelize. We share Jesus with those near and far. Everyone say, share. We share Jesus. We do it here in San Diego, and we do it to the nations. We have a part, we have an eye for the nations. Sherwood and Sarah were in Japan for years. Heather and I were in Kenya for 14 years. We have to be strategic. We have to be going to the nations. Not everybody, because if everybody went, then who'd be here, right? But everybody's part of missions, sharing God here, sharing God there. John Piper has a great quote. He says, there's only three options when it comes to missions. There's only three things you can do. You can go, you can send, or you can disobey. Those are your only three options. And so we have to fall into one of those categories, church. We have to be part of that strategic sending. These men didn't put it off. They didn't say, wasn't that a cool Bible study? Yeah, it was awesome. We saw Jesus again. I missed him. No, they said, I need to go and tell this message. I need to get up and go do it. And I'm going to do it first thing in the morning. Nope. They did it that night. They went immediately back to Jerusalem. A couple hours walk probably. They took off back to Jerusalem because they had to tell somebody. They had to share what's happened to them because the good news must be shared. They got up and returned to Jerusalem at once. Now, everyone's faith is at a different speed, okay? Everyone's at a different place on this road with Jesus. No two people in here are at the same place. But what you see is you see everyone moving down the road with Jesus. We have to be moving down the road with Jesus. At one point during this story, they were standing still. Remember that? By the end of the story, they're running. They're off and running. And so maybe you're not ready to run, but you're definitely not ready to stand still. We got to keep moving. We got to think about what the next step is. Quickly, the last thing in the notes, what are our next steps? Well, come next week. Come with an open heart to this ministry fair and not find out how maybe you could be part of serving and maybe how you could be served, because that's part of being in a community. Number two, identify which step you can take this week to draw closer to God. Is it more community, prayer, study, worship, service, evangelism? Jesus, just like he waits for the welcome to come in our story here in Luke 24, and he comes in. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Invite Jesus in. Invite him more into your life to walk with you along the road. And then thirdly, just pray. Ask Jesus to rekindle your fire for him. Okay, we all could use more of his spirit, more of his blessing in our lives. So ask for that fire, and maybe you've never lit that fire. And you saw the 17 people get baptized last week, and you're here this morning, and you're just like, I need this. I need you, God. And so talk to somebody. Don't leave today without talking to somebody. It's a gift, but we have to receive it. We have to accept a gift of Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross and through his resurrection. As we talked about already, there's an awesome baptism. I was listening to your service on my ears as I was running, and so I couldn't see what was happening, and it just kept going and going. I'm like, man, how many people are getting baptized? Because the band kept playing, and I kept hearing cheering, and it's so exciting. And so baptism is one of the two things we do as Christians. We say, I'm making a public declaration of that faith. And then once you've been baptized, you do it regularly with the body of Christ, and you do it through communion. You say to each other, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that I need him. I believe that he's given me everything necessary for life and godliness. I believe. And so we're going to do that here together today. Just like in our story where the disciples remembered what had happened, right? Just a few days earlier at that Last Supper, Jesus did it again when he was at the table with them. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. So we remember Christ's death and resurrection together. And if you believe in that today, then you're welcome to participate with all of us in the communion elements. What we're going to do in just a minute, the band's going to come up and play one last song. And there's communion tables in the back. And you can go back and take those, bring them to your seats. And then you're just going to hold them with you at your seat until Jake's going to come up and is going to have us take it all together as a community of faith. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up now, and I'm going to close this part of the service in prayer. Father, we thank you for walking with us. We thank you for loving us, loving our hearts, loving our minds, loving our souls, God. You made us, you know us, and so we just confess right now that we need you. We need you so badly, God. And we're grateful that just like this communion is free bread and free juice, God, that you've given us, your salvation is free. It is completely free, God. And we just need to give thanks and surrender our lives to you. God, help us to walk with you. Call us, God, to where we never thought our feet could go. Lead us, God, for your glory's sake, because you are good and you are the one we worship, the resurrected Savior of all. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for the Quest Church San Diego Sermon Podcast. We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you have any questions about the Bible, need prayer, or recently made a commitment to follow Jesus, we'd love to hear from you. Please visit questsd.com to get connected. You can also send us an email at info@questsd.com to let us know how God is using these messages to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. Until next time, we pray you have a blessed week.